I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We have our regular Friday features for you. The Barbershop Guys are in the house, and in Faith Matters, we talk about a new way some houses of worship are acting as places of sanctuary by becoming places for fugitives to turn themselves in. We talked to a pastor in Philadelphia who opened his doors and a man who came to his church to surrender. But first, it's time for our weekly political chat. It's been a dramatic week in the race for the White House. Both candidates were at the White House yesterday, joining President Bush and congressional leaders to work on the president's proposed bailout plan. Now, of course, both men are supposed to be on their way to Mississippi for tonight's first debate, although John McCain is insisting he's suspending his campaign unless the bailout plan is fixed. But we decided if the debate goes forward, we wanted to be ready. So here to talk about the issues and what to look for are NPR correspondent Tom Gelton and Alan Schroeder. He's an associate professor of journalism at Northeastern University who studies media and the presidency. Welcome to you both. Thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Now, the focus is supposed to be on foreign policy. That's thought to be a strong suit for John McCain, but it was McCain that called for the debate to be postponed. So, Alan Schroeder, I wanted to ask you, how is this move being viewed? Is he sending a message that the debate's just not that important?
I think on some level he is, and I think that there's a real risk in him for that because the thing is, over the years there's been a lot of research done on this question. The American people feel that the debates belong to them. It's the one time in the campaign where the media steps aside and it becomes this pure transaction between the candidates and the voters. And so I think for either candidate to tamper with that is not something that will serve the campaign well.
How do we decide who has done well in these things? Or not. And I've noted that, you know, you've actually been quoted as saying that people think of Senator Obama as the stronger public speaker, but actually in a debate setting, you think that McCain has the edge. So talk about that.
Yeah. I think that there's a huge difference. You know, debating is a really weird and different and singular activity. And it's something that even though they've engaged in a lot of these in the primary season, they haven't done it for 6 months, 9 months, depending on the candidate. It's a different set of skills that you have to tap into. You're not speaking to a big crowd. You're speaking in a very kind of intimate television setting, and you don't have very much time. And then throw in the fact that you're up there for the first time during the whole campaign with your opponent, who has his agenda that he's trying to push, and you get this really odd and different kind of an exercise that they have to go through, and it's tough, it's hard.
How do you decide who won? I actually personally hate that phrase because, I mean, what does that mean? It's not like you don't get a trophy. Well, you do, but it's not, you know, a cup. But how do you decide who prevailed, or how does one maximize the experience?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's one that there's not an easy answer for. Actually, George W. Bush had an interesting comment on that, and that was that you don't win a debate, but you could sure lose one. And I think there's something to that, that it's easier to sort of tell when somebody goofs up or does something that he or she should not have done during a debate than it is to conclusively say, oh, you know, victory, let's call you the winner here. I wish we'd get away a little bit from the win-loss thing, but you know, that's the way it is.
Tom, let's go to the substance of what is likely to be discussed if, in fact, the debate goes forward. What's the top line? I mean, I'm assuming it's Iraq, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, Michelle, I would say that in the context of what's going on right now, the first question is probably likely to have something to do with the financial bailout. Jim Lehrer, who's the moderator of this debate, has already said that he does not intend to limit it just to foreign policy. And this huge financial crisis that is gripping Wall Street, gripping Washington, is one that has tremendous international repercussions. And it's been followed very closely all around the world. And, you know, it can really affect America's standing in the world. So I wouldn't be surprised if right off the bat we focus on that. And I think the moderator is likely to ask both candidates, you know, to sort of, if in fact the debate takes place, where they stand on it and what they see as its significance.
Would it be, how would you ask a question about, for example, how the economic crisis translates overseas or the relevance to our, the international arena or how the U.S. relates to the world? I'm putting you on the spot here, Tom, but how would you relate the two? I mean, clearly they are related, but...
Sure. Well, Michelle, the National Intelligence Council is saying that, predicting that U.S. influence in the world is likely to diminish over the coming years and diminish, quote, at an accelerating pace. And I think this would be an interesting question to pose to Senator McCain and to Senator Obama. How do you feel about that? Are you resigned to that? Do you understand why this is happening? Is there anything the United States can do to sort of maintain its position of influence in the world, economic influence, or is this just something that's inevitable? And in fact, are the events of the past few days likely to increase that? Is there any way that the United States can manage this financial crisis in such a way as to maintain that position of U.S. preeminence?
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with NPR's Tom Gelton and Northeastern University Professor Alan Schroeder about tonight's first presidential debate, if it should go forward, and what viewers should watch for, and listeners, I should say, because NPR will be offering full coverage of the debate if it happens. And Alan, I wanted to ask you this. So people often complain, or at least the candidates complain, sometimes the viewers complain about the so-called gotcha questions that seem sort of like a trick question. But could you talk
right.
about that? Are those legitimate? And then, Tom, I'm going to ask you, is there a foreign policy gotcha question, sort of something that the candidates might not expect? So, Alan, first.
Yeah, I think the reason those gotcha questions come into the equation is because you have journalists serving as moderators who know very well the tricks of the trade when it comes to politicians and how skillful they are at evading the question. So what you try to do as a moderator is craft a question in such a way that it throws the person off the talking points a little bit. Now, easier said than done, and you can certainly go to some extremes. You know, I think everybody remembers the first question in the 1988 debate of Michael Dukakis: what would you do if your wife Kennedy were raped and murdered, in his dispassionate response. That's the kind of question that candidates really can't prepare for. So I sympathize with the moderators in their difficulty of knocking the candidates off the talking points. But I think that, you know, you don't want it to become about the moderator or his questions. You really want it to be about the candidates.
Well, I would defend that question because I thought it was revealing of Michael Dukakis in some way, but we could probably debate that ourselves in a debate.
Sure, sure.
But Tom, are there questions that the moderator might try to surprise the candidates
well,
with?
Well, Michelle, you know, both these candidates are so well briefed and have been preparing for this for a long time that they certainly try to anticipate every possible sort of hotspot question that might come up. Nevertheless, there are a few that they could be surprised by. You know, I've been paying attention. Latin America is a region that hasn't gotten a lot of attention. Mexico is spiraling into a real cycle of frightening violence. The security situation in Mexico due to organized crime and drug cartels is really turning almost into a warlike situation with the potential of really unleashing even more immigrants. And, it's one, you know, I have a candidate's really thought about that. We haven't heard either one of them refer to that. Then there are issues that I think are sort of problematic for each candidate. I noticed in today's New York Times, for example, the president of Chile, Michelle Bachelet, who's a socialist, was very critical of the sort of the U.S. attitude towards trade. For Senator Obama, I think that could put him in an awkward spot. Questions about his position on trade. He has opposed free trade deals with Colombia, for example. Those are actually, by the leadership in Latin America, are seen as quite popular. So I think that his position on trade has been largely determined by his desire to maintain trade union support in the United States. For Obama, it would be for Senator McCain, I think it would be interesting to see how he responds to questions about his past views of CIA interrogation methods. This has come back in the news in the last few days with news that senior officials in the very top officials in the Bush administration, members of cabinet, Secretary Rumsfeld and so forth, approved very harsh interrogation methods. Well, Senator McCain was very critical of those a few years ago, but he hasn't had much to say about them recently. So, you know, I don't think it should be too hard for the moderator to come up with some questions for which the candidates aren't that well prepared.
What are the areas in which we are likely to see the contrasts that I think the particularly undecided people might be looking for to determine how they're going to, assuming that is kind of one of the things that drives a person to make up his or her mind. Tom, are there right. areas that we could look for to really draw contrast to help us understand their sort of competing philosophies as briefly as you can?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, Michelle, probably one of the most likely one would be around Iran. There's been, vigorous disagreements between the Obama and McCain camps about how to deal with Iran. Iran is very much in the news now. And, of course, we just saw this week with Governor Palin making a very strong statement about the need not to engage with Iran. I think that could be one area where we would see very sharp disagreement between the candidates, and one that I think that that the audience would really be paying close attention to.
Alan Schroeder, finally, you have the last word. What are you looking for tonight? You've watched a lot of these things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look for that kind of that ineffable moment where someone that you're seeing on the screen looks plausibly presidential. And it's a real emotional, visceral response, I think, that you have as you're watching these debates. You know, you can listen to what they have to say. You can evaluate their policy positions. But a lot of it just comes down to checking them out as human beings. And this is that rare opportunity that you have to see them side by side responding to the same questions and watching them perform under intense pressure, which is something a president has to be able to do.
Alan Schroeder is an associate professor of journalism at Northeastern University. He's an expert on presidential debates. He joined us from the studios of MIT in Cambridge, Massachusetts. NPR's Tom Gjelten joined me from Washington. And if the debate goes forward tonight, he will be co-hosting NPR's post-debate call-in program with yours truly later this evening. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thanks.
Looking forward to it, Michelle.